Okay. Next part. Faith, the second handout, set of handouts. Go back to the scripture. It says, therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring. Not only to those who are of the law, but to those who are of the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. So, how does the promise, for whom is the promise? It's for everyone that will believe. So if you're in Christ, you're supposed to be the recipient of the promise. So, but then it says here, how does it come? How does the promise come? First, it says it comes by grace. What does grace mean? Grace means, what's the most common definition for grace? Unmerited favor. In other words, that's why I shared earlier, you have to settle it in your heart, you don't deserve anything. It's unmerited favor, yet it's gladly given. Yun yung ano ng grace. You don't deserve it, yet it's gladly given. Those of you children, you know this. Those of you who don't, you've probably seen this. One of the most amazing sights to see is the child's first birthday. Because the child doesn't know what's happening. Diba? Who is the most excited?
The parents.
The parents. Diba? Kasi they enjoy doing it for their child. The child has done nothing except add more work to them this past year. But they're excited. In fact, yung gifts, the whole program of the party, napipicture nila yun eh. This is what we'll do. And napipicture nila yung ngiti ng anak nila. Minsan nga, hindi pa nakangiti. Bad mood pala eh. When you give a gift and the parents, when I buy a gift for the young children, I'm thinking how they'll play with it. Tapos pagbigay mo ng regalo, yung gusto yung wrapper. Diba? But why do they do it? Because it's favor. They want to do it. So it comes by grace. We don't deserve it, yet it's gladly given. Another example. Those of your parents, you also know this, that sometimes your kids do things that really, really get you mad. Yung galit na galit ka. Almost gnashing your teeth. Na so sometimes you have to tell your spouse, ikaw na mag-discipline kasi pag ako pa, child abuse na tawag dun. Diba? But yet, I have never yet looked at any of my children and said, you are so bad, you don't deserve breakfast. Maybe lunch, we'll talk about it. You don't. Why? Because their provision is not dependent on who they are, on how good they are. It's dependent on how good I am. Praise God, none of my children have failed in school. They've done really well. One time their grades went down and I was getting on their case when God reminded me that as it is, their grades went down, their grades are far better than mine when I was in, and I realized that and I kept quiet na lang. But how many parents do we know that their children failed in school and the parents have not stopped paying tuition fee? Why? Because the tuition fee is not dependent on how good they are. It's dependent on how good the parents are. See, I realize this. My provision is not dependent on how good I am. It's dependent on how good God is. When you see children who are not kept, well kept, they're dirty, they're not dressed, they're filthy and doing crazy things. What is one of your initial questions? What is one of your initial questions? Kaninong anak yan? Diba? Kasi alam mo, hindi dahil sa kanila yan, dahil sa parents yan. Now, who's God? God is a father. Who are his children? Tayo. It comes by grace. Romans 3, verse 22. The righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ. To all who believe, there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace. Through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus, God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice, because in his forbearance he had left sins committed beforehand unpunished. The reality we're in, all have sinned. So we don't deserve it. One of the things I like about our holiness series is that we realize that God is so holy, yet he provided a way that we can walk with a holy God. I hope you realize also that through the series that our problem is not whether mabait tayo or hindi. Ang problema natin, sin. Di ba? Kung bumait ka, mabait ka lang na sinner. Sinner ka pa rin, di ba? If you reform yourself, if you reform the way you live, you are a well-behaved sinner. But just a sinner, just the same. Di ba? Because yun yung problema natin, sin. Because of sin, we don't deserve anything. Yet Jesus died on the cross so we can receive what God has given. We don't have time to talk about this, but let me share this truth, that one of the truths that I learned. Diba, God works with covenants. There's a Mosaic covenant. God made a covenant with Moses, Deuteronomy 28. And there's an Abrahamic covenant, all the way where the Spirit of God passed through the animals that Abraham cut, and he turned the promise into a covenant. And there's other covenants. And one of the most amazing covenants is the New Testament, the New Covenant. What's so amazing, what's so different about the New Testament? It's this. In the Old Testament, it was a covenant between God and man. And a covenant comes with conditions. If you do this, you'll get this. Okay? In other words, I make a promise, and if you abide by the promise, if you abide by what we talk about, these promises will come to you. The amazing thing about the New Testament, because it's grace, is the covenant is not between God and man. The covenant is between the Father and the Son. What does that mean? That means every condition of the covenant has been fulfilled. Ano na lang tayo? Sumabi. Ano na, nakisabit na lang tayo sa ginawa ni Christ. That's why it's grace. So when you look at yourself, no matter how good you try to be, you always fall short. But you can go to God and ask God for some things because you know Jesus fulfilled the conditions of the covenant with God. Wow. That means the promise is ready to be fulfilled anytime, anywhere. Amazing what God did. Ano na lang tayo? We just attach. We'll talk more, a little bit more about that. It's almost like, how many of you, I don't know if you watch the basketball World Cup, FIBA World Cup. How many of you, di ba, if you watch the close games, they were heartbreaking, weren't they? But, you know, the game is so intense, you're so excited, and part of the game, you see the Philippines is catching up, and all this play, Jimmy Alapag runs through the side, and he gets the ball, and he jumps and makes a three-point shot. And you go, yes! What just happened? While Jimmy Alapag was making the three-point shot, it was almost like you doing it. You could feel it inside of you. It's almost like, In fact, if you close your eyes, you can picture yourself doing the shot. What do you call that? You call that a vicarious experience. In our world today, you call that a virtual experience. It feels like the real thing, but it's not you. That's what Jesus did for us. He's there on the cross. He died for us. We were not there, but we have a vicarious experience through faith in Christ. And because we were there, we were not, but we were. Every condition of the promise has been fulfilled. It comes by grace. Then, it also comes by faith. I realize this. The only response to grace is faith. See, you don't deserve it, yet it's gladly given. What do? You simply trust. The only response to grace is faith. Romans chapter 4, verse 1 and 3. What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, discovered this matter? In fact, Abraham was justified by works. He had something to boast about, but not before God. What does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. The bottom line was, Abraham believed God. Because he believed God so much, the way he lived was influenced by what he believed. He believed God. Now, there's other scripture says he looked at himself and considered his body as good as dead, but he reckoned that the one who made the promise is faithful. So he didn't ignore his situation. In fact, he realized his situation. When you're faced with a situation today, you don't know how it's going to happen. It's impossible. You don't ignore it. You just say, Lord, I know this is crazy. I know this is impossible. But I know that your grace is more than abundant. Your word says this, and you stand on the word of God. And then when God meets you, the miracle happens. It's by grace, and it's also by faith. He did not wonder, what do I need to do to make my body and Sarah's body ready for this act? Can you imagine what their conversations with like, what were like? You know, 70 years old, sabi ni Lord, may magkakaanak ka. 71, wala. 72, wala. 73, 80, wala. Titinginan sila.
Honey? Mayroon ko kaya ito?
Diba? Imagine the conversation. 90. Iniisip ko, did she keep going to the doctor kung pwede pa? 80 years old, doc, pwede pa ba? 90 years old, doc, kasi sabi ni Lord, pwede pa kaya? Imagine what the conversation was. But he believed that God was faithful. Romans 4, 18 to 22. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations. Just as it has been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise, but was strengthened in his faith, gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. God made the promise. God paid for the promises. I realize this. Faith can change everything. Just like the song, the new song that's about to be released tomorrow, Grace changes everything. Faith changes everything as well as you respond to the grace of God. It's amazing. If you read Hebrews 11, you'll see the phrase, by faith. By faith, Abraham did this. By faith, Moses did this. By faith. The word by means in the power of. So in the power of faith, Abraham did this. In the power of faith, Moses did this. Remember the some of the people that Jesus healed? Said, let it be done to you according to your faith. According to your faith. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So I realize this, looking into this phrase again, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Substance, what substance? Substance is raw materials. So faith is the raw materials of things hoped for. The evidence of things. What does evidence mean? Evidence means title deed. When you buy land, the evidence that you own the land is a title deed. You can't bring home the lot, di ba? You can't go, okay, let me buy 10 hectares, or pahukay mo yan, iwi natin. Hindi pwede. What do you do? What do you bring home? You bring a title deed. So when you replace it, you realize this. Faith is the raw materials of things hoped for. It is the title deeds of things not yet seen. That's why faith creates many things. Why? Because it's the raw. So when people say, faith ka dyan. Paano mo alam nangyari yan? Because faith is the raw materials. Is it empty? No, I have the raw materials for what I'm believing God for because I have faith. Any evidence mo? Faith is also my evidence. That's why people think you're crazy, but it's real. Now, interestingly, the Bible also says, each one has been given a measure of faith. Hebrews chapter 12. Do not count yourself more highly than you ought to, but consider other. And in response to the faith, the measure of faith God has given you. So what is it saying here? One of the things it's saying is each one has been given a measure of faith. The word measure means exact. Why? Because you cannot measure something that's not exact. Okay? Bakit mo na may measure? Because it's exact. So what does it say? In the exact faith God has given you. So in other words, friends, yung faith mo, hindi kulang. You got the right amount and the right kind of faith. Yung faith mo hindi galing sa Green Hills. Yeah, I'm really amazed with Green Hills. Bakit? Yung faith may class C, class B, class A. Di ba? Yung fake, fini-fake palalo. Tapos fini-fake pa. Yeah? All of us get the same faith. Why is it? I realize this. If you have the faith to believe God for your salvation, you have faith to believe God for anything. Pastor Jay, bakit hindi ganun yung experience? Bakit minsan it looks like some people have more faith, some people have not? Why? I'll give you one of the reasons. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I realize this. Wherever the Word of God is strong in your life, that's where faith is strong in your life. Wherever the Word of God is not in abundance in your life, that's the area you don't have much faith. It's not because you don't have faith. The Word makes a difference. I realize that the Word of God is the promise of God. It is the will of God. And it is the plan of God. When you read the Word of God and it's not real in your life, that is something God wants to work out in your life. When you see something in the Word of God that's not happening, God is about to turn that around for you. Why? Because the Word of God is the plan of God, it is the will of God, and it is the promise of God. And I realized this about faith. Faith begins where the will of God is known. Faith begins where the will of God is known. Isn't it in your experience that there are things in your life where people won't agree with you, but you are so sure that this is the way because there's something in you that says this is the will of God? When I returned from Australia, my family migrated to Australia in 1982. I returned in 1986. My parents, my dad did not like it. My father, he's a Christian, loves God, but he did not agree with it. And in fact, during our conversation, he stood up and walked out. And he did not like the decision that I was going back to the Philippines. He kept telling me, you know, Jure, the opportunities that you have, so many people are praying for and longing that they have it, and you're just going to walk away from it. I was listening to him, you know, mag-Australian ka na lang muna, kasi at that time, 2 years lang, we were already in Australia for 3 years. Mag-apply ka muna ng citizenship, then go back to the Philippines so that if anything happens, you can go back. I said, no, Dad. So I had to look at him and says, I'm sorry. I have no intentions of disobeying you, but at this point, I feel like the Lord, I have to do what the Lord told me. And he said, how are you going to, what's your income going to be like? How are you going to get the income? I said, I don't know. Kasi hindi pa kami nag-uusap ni Steve. Mag-uusap pa lang kami ni Steve pagdating ko eh. So he stood up and walked out of the conversation. But I was so sure in my heart. He couldn't convince me. He couldn't stop me. And I had all the faith in the world to believe. Why? So I was so sure this was the will of God. I'm sure you have experiences like that in your life, where you know that you know that you know the will of God. This is the will of God. And faith rose up within you. And the word of God kept running in your mind. Because where faith begins, where the will of God is known. That's why when you find a promise from the Word of God and it becomes true in your heart, you have all the faith to see it happen. Any questions so far? No questions? Okay to ah. Siguro dapat mag-ilonggo ko para may questions. All right, we'll go to the third part. All right, that's the backdrop. As we talk about more about finance from the Bible today, from now on. From the backdrop of a God, an amazingly gracious God who made the promise. Yeah. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19 says this, and my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Deuteronomy 8, 18 says this, but remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant which he swore to your forefathers as it is today. What's similar in this scripture? Now, one comes from the Old Testament, one comes from the New Testament. But what's similar in this two verses? It's God will meet your needs. Yes. What else? What's similar? The author is looking from the context of what? Promises. Deuteronomy 8:18, but remember it is the Lord your God who will give you the ability to produce wealth. The author is writing from the context, God has made a promise that he will be the one who will provide. The same thing in Philippians. The Apostle Paul is saying, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches. He's coming from the context of making a promise. So when you begin to look at that, let's begin to look at, let's begin to look at a few things that we already know about some controversies and some realities of the scripture about money. And the first one is tithing, okay? One of the most used and abused scriptures in the world, in the Bible, Matthew chapter 3, verse 6 to 12. I, the Lord, do not change. So you, O you descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your forefathers, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me, but you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. You're under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I'll not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. I will prevent the pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. Then all nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. Now, when it comes to tithing, there's a controversy in the church. There's others who say it's not no longer for today. There's others that say it is for today. There's a debate whether the tithe was before the law or after the law. Okay, if you really want to be technical about it, the tithe was before the law. Because the law first came with Moses. Abraham already tithed way before Moses. Okay, so you can be technical about it. Debate which side of the debate you're on. But the question here is this. It's amazing whether those who don't believe in the tithe, don't believe that tithing is for today, also wants to hang on to the promise. So as we read the scripture, did you see the promise?
Yes.
Diba? Eh, kasi tao tayo, diba? Gusto sana natin na hindi tayo mag-tithe, but God will open the windows of heaven. Yun ang gusto natin. Pero hindi yung sinabi ni Lord. That's why I shared with you earlier that every command comes with a promise. Ang problema kasi minsan ng tao is they think that God tells them to tithe. Akala nila, sa kanila din naman galing yan. But what's the concept of tithing? Tithing is returning what God has given you. So ano yung problema? Kasi hindi naman akin to eh. Di ba? Parang ikaw, Karen, si Miss Karen, feels so generous. She'll give you 10,000 today. Okay? Ang request niya lang, ibigay mo yung 1,000 sa another place. Gagawin niyo ba? Bakit? Kasi blessing yun eh. Hindi galing sa'yo, galing sa iba. Sinabi niya lang, bigyan kita ng 10,000, basta yung 1,000, bigay mo dun. Baka sagutin mo siya, okay lang, kahit 2,000 eh. Di ba? See, our problem is, many times, is we don't look at the promise, we're only looking at the law. But the promise is clearly there. Test me in this if I not throw open the floodgates of heaven. And the promise is when you're asked to tithe, who gives you the ability? It's God. You know the amazing thing about tithing is? One of the things I like about tithing is, kung walang binigay, wala rin ibibigay. In other words, pag hindi nag-faithful si Lord sa'yo, di wala ka rin naman ibibigay. Pero pag may binigay sa'yo si Lord, biro mo yun, makakapagbigay ka kay Lord. Saan nga nakakita nun? Parang ano yan, parang Christmas. Pag Christmas sa bahay namin, lahat ng anak may budget para bumili ng regalo. Di ba parang niloko lang namin sarili namin? Binigyan kami ng regalo naman, wow, thank you. Pero sa amin naman galing. Pero nakakatuwa, di ba? Kasi napag-isipan nila. Hindi ka ba natutuwa nun? Na here's a God who owns everything. Binigyan niya ka ng opportunity na makapagbigay sa kanya. Tapos natutuwa pa siya. Lord, ikaw naman nagbigay nito, Lord. Sige, Lord. Sa'yo na uli. And God is rejoicing because you did it. See, tithing is an amazing thing. Tithing is sometimes we see tithing as a burden. I work with pastors, and I've worked with some of them, and I've tried to change the way they do budgets. Okay. Now, I'm not against budgeting. If you need help budgeting, that's not me. I'm not an expert in it. But I see people when they do their budgets, lights, house, school, lahat, food, ganito. Tapos expense column yun, di ba? Tapos nalagay nila tithe. nasa expense. You know what I realized? Tithing is not an expense. It is an investment. That's why so many Christians don't get anything back with God, because when it's an expense, you don't expect anything in return. But when it's an investment, you know there is a return. So we can fight here, semantics lang yarin it, but let me just encourage you with this. Unless it changes here and here, you won't see it change in your life. Is tithing a burden? No. Tithing is freedom. See, the Bible says, test me in this, if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing which you cannot contain. Tithing is a way out of the natural. Kasi, you're working here. And as a church, as a movement, as leaders here, I can tell you that we would like as much as possible to be generous. Whenever possible, to be generous with all the people that work for us. We are believing God for the best for you. But the reality is this. If all you rely on is what you get every month, you will be greatly limited. I began to realize that tithing was God's way out for me. Tithing was God's way out for me from the limitations I faced. Every time I bring my tithe to God, I take my finance from the natural and transfer it to the supernatural. I will open the windows of heaven. I began to realize tithing is not a burden, it is freedom. How many of you can use a miracle with your finance on a regular basis? So this is a way that God gave us to get out of this, of the natural that we're faced in. A few things about the tithe. We understand it. It's the tenth. It's 10%. Let me just say this in the right here already. I might forget. You know, sometimes in religious circles, they tell you that when you give, the amount doesn't matter. You know that is not true. Because when you read the scripture, you will really see the amount makes a difference. 9% is not the tithe. It's a tenth. The amount makes a difference. Oh, when you give to God, it's the heart, it's not the amount. Let your heart declare the amount. It makes a difference. It makes a difference. Now again, parang ganito lang yan. If all we want is our offering to be accepted and given to God, the amount doesn't make a difference. But if we want the freedom that God promises, the amount makes a difference. The tithe is the best. The words that are attached to the tithe is it's the best, it's the whole. It's not half, it's the finest, it's holy to the Lord. Tithing is an act of worship. When you have the time, please read Deuteronomy chapter 26. You'll see there that the tithe is the tenth, but tithing is an act of worship. It was planned. Tithing is not spontaneous. Kaya tayo, we encourage spontaneity in a lot of things with God. But you know, in terms of giving to God, it was not spontaneous at all. They prepared for it. They prepared for the tithe. The tithe was the first. Hindi pa na-calculate yung expense. Binigay na yung part ng tithe. People ask me, Pastor Jerry, should I tithe from the gross or the net? Just to make it funny, I ask them, what do you want God to bless, the gross or the net? But when you realize the concept, but please don't get me wrong, I understand some business realities. So I try to work with them as much as possible. I don't have all the solutions. I know, like in terms of the supermarkets and the groceries, whoever has one, the markup is anywhere between 3 to 6%. That's all they make. So millions in sales only earns them a certain amount. So I know you don't tithe from everything because that's not your money. That's something you have to pay and things like that. So, but hopefully, yung capital mo nung umpisa, nag-tithe ka na dun. And all those other things. But the tithe is the first. It's an act of worship. Some tithing thoughts I wrote there. It's also in your handout. It says, the tithe is not an expense, it is an investment. The tithe is not a loss, it is an exchange. Your tenth is exchanged with God's blessing. Remember Melchizedek and Abraham? Melchizedek declares the blessing of God. You are Abraham, you are the servant of the God Most High. And he begins to declare the blessing. And the exchange from Abraham's side was he gave the tithe. But he also brought out bread and wine. What's bread and wine? When do you see bread and wine?
Communion.
Communion. What are you commemorating in communion? Covenant. Tithing is a covenant issue. When you tithe before God, you stand by the covenant of God. The tithe is not a law, it is an expression of faith. The tithe is not a demand for obedience, it is a joyful expression of worship. The tithe is not giving from your lack, but giving from what God has miraculously supplied. The tithe will not hinder you, it will extend your possibilities. To the one who refuses to give the tithe, it is an antiquated law that no longer applies. But to one who desires to give it, it is an act of faith that connects us to God's amazing promises. The tithe is not a law that ties you, but a promise that empowers you. Second thing is 2 Corinthians. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what is decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. See, we you quote this verse. Each man should give what is decided in his heart. And then we say, not reluctantly, for God loves a cheerful giver. See, the amount doesn't matter. But that's not the context. Just before that, he said, sow sparingly, reap sparingly. Sow generously, reap generously. In other words, if you are generous in giving, you'll receive more. But if you are stingy in giving, you'll receive less. So he's encouraging you, get to a place that when you're giving more, it is a joy and you're not reluctant. And God is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you'll abound in every good work. What an amazing promise. All things, at all times. He has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You'll be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Do you see the promises? You'll be made rich in every way. Sow sparingly, reap sparingly. Sow generously, reap generously. Then he talks about seed. I realize this. I don't need a high-paying job to prosper. I don't need a major business to prosper. Now, I'm not saying don't believe God for how high pay. I hope you believe God for one. And keep believing God. I hope you believe God if your spouse is involved in business. I hope you pray that he becomes more and more successful. But what I'm saying is, if God has not placed you in that place at this time, you can begin to prosper. And where's the starting point? Seed. Where do you get seed? Sweldo. Allowance. Minsan may racket ka. May seed ka. The problem is many times like this. Ang sweldo natin, when you talk to people, kasa ba sweldo mo? Most people react, kulang. Okay? The problem with this is this. If you look at your salary as harvest, kulang talaga yan. But if you look at your sweldo as seed, that is amazing seed. So I realized this years ago when we were in this situation, when we were facing financial difficulty, and somebody helped me with this. I began to look at my salary as seed. Lord, I thank you. I have a place to get seed. So tell me, Lord God, where I need to start sowing this seed so I can begin to see the harvest. I've been at this, the turnaround started around the year 2000. The year 1995, God began to do certain things in our heart with our image and our relationship with God. But the year 2000, the financial miracles started happening. To that point, I had been a pastor with Victory since 1989. So I've been a pastor for a few years now, and I have never seen this happen in my life until we started realizing that God has given us a place to get seed. And then we started sowing. We started with, aside from our tithe, we started with 500 pesos a week. We started praying, Lord, somebody needs 500 pesos. Lord, sabihin mo kung saan, kung kanino, dadalhin namin. We started praying, Lord, sino? And if there was a week that we felt like God didn't tell us anything, then we kept it. So next week, 1,000 na. But 500 pesos every week. You know, it's amazing. We started giving that. I would go to the pastor's meeting in our city and I would pray, Lord, somebody needs money there. Lord, do I need to bring money for seed? Somebody's praying there. Do I need to give? So I would go. I would go to Manila for a conference. I would encourage people, don't just believe God for fare. Believe and pocket money. Believe God to sow seeds. So we're praying, Lord, give us money to give away. Kasi, Lord, sigurado ako, ang dami nagpipray doon. Ang daming nangangailangan. Ang daming bitin yung pera kasi conference yun. Lord, give us a chance to sow seeds. We started giving 500 pesos a week. I got really excited one time. I ended up in a pastor's house about 7:30 in the morning. I was knocking on the door after I brought my son to school and I told him, Pastor, the Lord told me to give you this money, 500 pesos. Pastor to, nagpipedicab to help augment his income. And he looked at the money and he was shocked. And he looked like he was gonna cry. I said, Pastor, what's wrong? Sabi niya, alam mo ba, kakatapos ko lang mag-pray. Kakahingi ko lang kay Lord ng 500 pambayad ng kuryente ko. And there I was knocking on his door. First thing in the morning. I went home, I told my wife, we have heard God. You know the amazing thing? After about a week or two of doing this, people started showing up in our homes, in our house. This has never happened in our life before. People would show up in our house, Pastor, the Lord told me to give you this. 2,000. We would look at each other, my wife and myself. What an exchange. And we would amazing, we would do this. There's one time after about a few months, the Lord told us to increase it to 700. We started doing it. And the Lord, one time, I was here in Manila, I was preaching. Between services, we went to Starbucks to have coffee. And this pastor told me, said, you know, Jure, I don't normally bring cash. But today the Lord told me to bring cash. Now I know why. And he started emptying his pocket. Front, left, pocket, back, his wallet, opening it, 9,000 pesos. I looked at him, you don't bring cash, huh? 9,000 pesos, right there and then. And then, as we went on, God began to challenge us again. We started giving a certain amount. Increased the amount. Then increased the amount. Up to a certain point, people started texting us. Said, Pastor Jure, you don't know me, but I know you. And the Lord told me to give you money. Can I get your bank account, please? And my response was, have fun with it. Here it is. Pastors would call me. Pastor Jure, there's somebody in my church. You probably don't know them, but they came to me and said, the Lord told them to give you money. How can we get it to you? People I don't know. Amazing. Then about a year, about a month, a few months later, the Lord told us to give our car away. Yung kotse namin na yun, kung binenta mo yun, 40,000, miracle yun at that time. 1978 Ford Escort, kulay kalawang daw, tawag nila. But it got us from point A to B. We were so thankful for that car. But the Lord said, you want a new car, give it away. So we gave it away. Called the pastor. Pastor, the Lord told us to give you the car. Somebody from another pastor from another. Then he kept quiet. Said, Pastor, is there anything wrong? Said, alam mo ba, kagabi, naglalakad ako pa uwi. Mga 10:30 ng gabi. From a Bible study kasi wala nang jeep. Naglalakad ako sa rice field. Nagpe-pray ako, Lord, kailangan ko na ng sasakyan. The next day, evening, I'm calling him and the Lord told us to give you our car. Sabi, Pastor, what do I need to do? Just come and get the car. So 3 days later, he comes and he gets the car. And the whole family watches the car drive away. Gabi yun eh. Padilim ng padilim kasi palayo ng palayo yung ilaw. Favorite car namin yun kasi yun lang yung car namin. It's driving away and we're looking at this. And then after, when we couldn't see the car anymore, we went into the house. And then we had communion together. And we prayed and said, Lord, we have obeyed you. Now we ask you for our car. 1 month later, about 6:30 in the morning, this friend of mine calls me. He says, Jure, I've been trying to call you since last night. Sabi ko, bakit? Sorry, maaga kami natulog. Sabi niya, kasi kagabi, I heard God as clear as anything. Sabi ko, ano yun? Sabi ni Lord, yung sasakyan ko, sayo na. So come over and get my car. It was a two-year-old F-150. I was so shocked. I called my wife. We have the car. We have the F-150. The exact car we prayed for and the exact color we prayed for. And so I announced in the church, guess what? We have a car already. The church is, woo! Kukunin ko na mamaya. After the service, I'm going to Bacolod because it was a friend from Bacolod. And I'm going to ship it back here. And this guy comes to me after the service, Pastor Jure, the Lord told me, ako daw magbabayad ng shipping, magkano? Sabi ko, I don't know. Siguro 7. I spent 6,900. Sabi ng ibang kaibigan, patay ka sa gas niyan. Sabi ko, kung kaya ni Lord magbigay ng sasakyan, kaya niya yung gas. So nag-pray kami na yan. Dapat full tank every week. For about 3 months, God was faithful. Amazing. There's one time I drove into the gas station. Nakatingin yung gasoline boy, kasi puro coins dala ko. Tingin niya sa sasakyan. Tapos yung puro piso tsaka 5 piso. Sabi ko, yan yung binigay. Basta lagay mo gas. It's amazing. Amazing what God has done. I can tell you story after story. Another story, the church that we were pastoring, about 80 people, making offerings about 20,000 a week. So from 20,000, sweldo ng staff, sweldo ko, rent ng ano. And so you can imagine the challenge financially. Then the Lord told us to host a conference for our Visayas and Mindanao churches. This I'll never forget. And the first year we tried to do it, plan for it, I felt like the Lord says, not this year. The next year we felt like the Lord says, now, do it now. So we planned. We started calling, we started inviting, started working out. The conference was going to cost us 400,000 pesos. So we're looking at this. How does a church making 20,000 in offerings host a conference that's going to cost us 400,000. So we're looking at this, but we were talking about this, and one of the guys in our church got so excited, yes, let's do it. Para sabi niya, ako yung first magbibigay sa offering para sa conference. Nagbigay siya ng 7,000 pesos. Sabi ko naman, sige, praise God. Now we can open an account for the conference. So we opened the account. Sure enough, a few weeks later, the Lord says, if you want to see the needs met, kunin mo yung 5,000 dyan, bigay mo sa church na nag-raise ng funds. So I talked to the leaders. Sabi, I feel like the Lord told us to do this. Crazy. But they said, yeah, let's do it. So we took the 5,000 and we gave it to the church. I was in Manila preaching in one of our churches. And after the service, this guy walks up to me. Never met in my life, and I only met him twice after this. And he says, Pastor Jurey, the Lord told me I need to meet you. I find out we come from the same hometown, but we both come from Bacolod. And I said, all right, so parang weird, diba? The Lord told me I need to meet you. Parang, okay. And the Lord has a message for you. I said, wow. And he said, the Lord told me, whatever you need, I need to give to you. So how much do you need? You know, I was so shocked, hindi ko nasagot. I said, can I get your phone number? He said, yeah, sure. He gives me his phone number. Said, can I call you tomorrow? Sure, call me at around this time. And we talk a little bit, where he's from what city, mga mutual friends, mutual mga relatives na kilala ko, relatives na kilala niya. Tapos he goes. The next day I call him. And the next two times I meet him was those two times that he gave me a check. God knows how to do it. You can never outgive God. I can tell you story after story. One of the latest ones, people ask me about it, is I have a big bike now. I've been praying for one for many years. And I got a Vespa about a year and a half, 2 years ago. And I promised my wife, I'm not going to get it from the budget. I said, can I get this? She said, all right. Then sure enough, about 2 months later, somebody gives me, oh, the Lord told me to give you this. Vespa paid for right there. Then I've been believing God for a big bike. And then my brother wins in the raffle. And he tells me, do you want it? I said, of course I want it, but I have nothing to pay for you. So he and my dad made a deal, and they gave me a deal, pay when able, with a major discount. So I have one. God knows how to do everything. I can tell you story from shoes, from Barbie dolls, from the trip to Australia. It's amazing what God has done. Trip to Australia for my whole family, all eight of us. The visa was going to cost us $52,000 just for the visa for all eight of us. It was an amazing miracle that God did. And the plane fare and the tuition fee was going to end up in the same at the same time. I tried to plead with the travel agent to delay my payment when I get back. Sabi niya, sir, hindi pwede. So let's believe God. God paid everything. We went home with more money than when we left. It's amazing what God did, and so much more. Sowing and reaping. We've learned to live this way. For our tuition fee, I shared with you, real life, other situations. It's a serious conversation every year. Sending six kids to school. God, we need a miracle from God, and God has been faithful. And we've been challenging our faith. We started with paying full tuition for one child. Then we're believing God for two children the next year. Then three children the next year. And it's amazing what God has done. It's other things. For our house, we're believing God for our house. We're not there yet, but we're in the sowing and looking stage now. We're asking God, where do we sow seeds for the house? And we allow God to lead us where he wants us to sow seeds. Vacation. How many of you want a vacation? I want a vacation. So we're sowing seeds as well. I hear somebody taking a vacation, a child of God who's a friend of mine or somebody. I ask God, Lord, should I be involved there? Should I give there? Because I'm believing God for vacation as well. See, seed reproduces of its own kind. So I realize this. If I can find the seed for my dream and sow it and believe God, we will see our dream come to pass. So we're learning from different things. I'm teaching our children this. I taught my, the first time I taught my son, TJ, tithing, he was 8 years old. And he said, and it's nice to teach kid because faith is so normal for them. He says, how much is the tithe? So I explain, if you have 50 pesos, the tithe is 5. He said, Dad, how about the offering? If you give 6 pesos, your tithe is 5, your offering is 1. Okay. One day I see him bringing all his coins, savings, 80 pesos worth of coins. I think he was 8 years old. So I know grade 1, grade 2. And he gave it. I said, what are you doing? I'm believing God for a computer. I said, okay. You sure? Yes. Then 2 months later or a month later, somebody shows up in Iloilo in our house from Manila. Said, Jurey, somebody gave this card to me. Said, please give it to you. So I got it and said, thank you. Then I opened it. Says, Jurey, how are you? God bless you. I just came from the U.S. I had extra dollars. I asked the Lord what to do with it. The Lord said, it's for you. $500. So I told my son, when you get home, you'll have the computer. So when we got the computer and paid off a few things. When he got home, he said, where's the computer? I said, it's in the room. So he goes, looks at the room. You can hear him. Wow, wow. Then he says, Dad? I said, what's wrong? He said, I asked God for a computer and a printer. Where's the printer? I said, wait, it's coming. About a month later or a few weeks later, I'm hosting a friend from Bacolod. We're going down the escalator to go to have lunch. He's ahead of me. I'm behind him. All of a sudden, he just turns around. You know what? I need to give you a printer. So the next time you're in Bacolod, I have a printer for you. Guess what? 2 days later, I'm in Bacolod. I want that printer. God knows how to do. God knows how to provide for you. Just remember this. Sowing and reaping, it's not bondage, it's freedom. It's a promise from God. The tithe is freedom. Expect the harvest from God. Diba? See, as we close, remember this. It's God who challenged us. Test me in this. If I will not throw open the floodgates. I mean, you know, religion tells us when you give, don't expect anything in return. Sounds nice, but that's not true. Now, when you give to someone, please don't expect anything in return from them. But when we give, and when God tells us to give, we can expect from God. We can surely expect from God. Lord, you told me to give there. Kaya ang encouragement ko sa inyo, let God lead you. Kasi yung iba, ginagawa to parang loto. Diba? Magbibigay lang. Bigay lang. Kaliwa, kanan, bigay lang. Balang araw, jackpot din ako. Let God lead you, because if God told you to give, it is He who will return to you. So when you want to give, ask God, Lord, where do we need to give? How should we give? Now, please don't give everywhere, because you're not the Savior, Jesus is. But wherever God tells you to give. And I'm not telling you to start. Don't just copy the stories. But start where you are. If 100 pesos is the faith level you're in, go ahead. Don't look at others and isa thousands. It's important that you start more than where the other person is. Because if you start today, you will get there. Kasi you will be changed. When you see God do a miracle for you, you will be changed. Why are we changed today? Because we experienced the miracle of salvation. We were changed not because bumait tayo. We were changed because we encountered God. And even in this area, when you encounter God, it will change you. All right? I want to end in prayer, unless you have a question. Do we still have time? Okay. Up to what time am I supposed to? Okay. All right. Any questions? I was told 3:30. So. Okay. But if you have questions, I'd rather answer questions. Then we'll pray. To end. Yes. Yeah.
Here.
Pastor Jerry, in your study of the Bible, what does it say about savings or saving up?
savings. The Bible does talk about savings. But what I don't agree with is sometimes the scriptures that they use for savings. The Bible says that he will multiply your storehouse. So in other words, if there's nothing in your storehouse, there's nothing to multiply. And there are scriptures about savings. But sometimes what they say is, they use the scripture, look at the ant, you sluggard, he neither sows nor stores food for the rainy day. Actually, when you read the scripture, that's not talking about savings. It's talking about hard work. Because the ant doesn't save because he's afraid for a rainy day. He knows the rainy day will come. When the rains come, there's no food for the ant to get because it gets all washed out. So what he does during the dry season, that's when he starts storing up for food. But he's not doing it for an emergency. He's doing it for the season. There's a season to work hard. There's a season where you can't work whether you like it or not. So, but savings, go ahead. But my challenge is, why do you save? I don't agree with the statement, save for a rainy day. Why? Because if your faith is in the rainy day, you will get the rainy day. So save because it's good stewardship. Save because sometimes the way God gets it to you is not in a lump sum. God gives you a little at a time to work your character, to test you, that one day what he wants to give you, he's provided through the years. But don't save because you're afraid. I have insurance. People ask me, what about insurance? I have insurance. But I'm not I don't have insurance because I'm afraid. I have insurance because at one point, it was an agreement between my wife and myself that we felt like God said, do it. So when I talked to my insurance agent, she started telling me, you know, what if you die? What if? I said, forget it. Stop it. I'm getting. You don't have to convince me. Just tell me how this works, okay? Then I can decide how much, where, and what. Because I'm not preparing to die. You get me? So yun yung why are you saving? More than just the savings. Okay? I hope that helps you. Anybody else? Any other questions? Wow. Extend natin up to 5 kung walang questions. Yes. Yeah.
Was there a time when you hesitated? Well, sinabi ni God na bigay mo, tapos nag-hesitate kayo. Kumbaga parang, hindi siya parang mega faith all the time.
Oh yeah, sure. Taula naman tayo. There are times that you miss it. There are times that you're really in faith. Yeah. But at the end of the day, yun nga eh, this is the picture of the God we serve. I have room to make mistakes. Because the God we serve does not change because of my mistakes. The God we serve is always faithful, is always good. See, I can always go to God and say, God, I think I missed it. What do I do now? So, does that? Yes.
Kasi it's been an issue. I don't know. Sometimes a small group about giving to beggar. Kasi they're saying, where is your compassion if you're not giving to beggar? Although we know that it's illegal to do that. So, what is your stand, Pastor Jerry?
One is, I'm not the savior of the world. So, I don't entertain thoughts na if I don't give, wala na sila makukuha. On the other hand, I'm also open. Because sometimes we feel like, di ba, sinasabi nila, sindikato yan. Iniisahan ka. But I realize this, eh. They're the victims, not me. Kasi ano naman, sila yung ginagamit, hindi ako eh. Ang makukuha na natin, ang makukuha niya na sa akin, if I give 100 pesos, 100 lang naman nakuha niya sa akin, pero siya, siya yung nagamit. Tapos, I'm convinced, if they just knew a better way, they wouldn't be there. So, I realized that I'm not the victim. So, I'm open to it. I'm open to saying, all right. But I don't give all the time as well. But if I feel like the Lord touches me to do it, then I'll do it. If I made a mistake, then okay. If I don't, that's why also if there's a big concern for the poor for me, I have my own, in a sense, the places where I give to charity. So that's another. Tulad ng ice bucket challenge, somebody challenged me. My response was, sorry, I have my own charities already. So kasi hindi naman ako sagot para sa funding ng ALS. Si Lord naman yun eh. If the Lord doesn't tell me to give, then no.
Yes. How would you know if you're sowing into the right seed or sowing to the right people or soil?
At the end of the day, it's really your relationship with God. It's something that you process with God. It's something that you talk to God about. Ask Him, Lord, do I give here? Do I do this? Or not? The other one is I look at other things in people's lives. As much as possible, I want to find out if they're trustworthy. I want to find out if they're tithers. I want to find out if they're children of God. I want to find out a few things. But at the end of the day, it's really between you and God. This friend of mine, who's a pastor, we met one time in Bacolod, and we were having dinner, and he just came from ministry time, and they took up an offering for him. And the offering was really, really thick. Kasi in some churches, whatever comes into the offering, they don't write a check. They'll give it to you, cash, coins, and everything. Bibilangin lang nila yung tatalian nila, tapos bibigay nila sa'yo. So we're here, we're having dinner, and there's this group that's preaching, tapos nag-offering, di ba? Ayaw na. But right there and then, this very young girl comes to him in one of the offerings. He gets his whole offering. It's so thick. And he puts it in the hands of the... says, God bless you. The little girl was so shocked. Gaano kapal yun? Why did he give it? He felt like God told him to do it. I'm not there to argue. Kasi at the end of the day, it's really between you and God. Don't be afraid to make a mistake. Because God can correct you naman. Don't be afraid if it's wrong motive. Because God can correct that as well. Di ba? Kung si Lord Diyos, kaya niya yan. I'd rather you do something and make a mistake than sit down and do nothing and never learn. Di ba? Kaya ano, wrong motive, go. Kaya naman ni Lord baguhin yan. You know what I mean? We believe in a God who can lead us. Then let's allow God to deal with us. Were there things in my areas in my life where God corrected me? Yes, there were. But that's the amazing thing about God, because He can lead us and He can correct us. All right.
Yes.
What is the best way to handle if someone borrow your money, then nagkaroon ng situation wherein wala siyang capability to pay it? Ibigay mo or kasi sabi pag utang bayaran.
Personally, for me, hindi ako nagpapautang. So when people come to me, I learned this from Pastor Steve, and I learned this from when people come to me for magutang, my response is, sorry, I'm not a bank. I'm not a financial institution. I do not give loans. And my advice to you, if you, like, let's say you have rent money, tapos hihiramin, babayaran next week just in time for your rent. Don't. Bakit? Kasi pag sumabit siya, dalawa na kayo sumabit. Siya lang una, tapos pag ginawa mo yun, sabit kayo dalawa. So, my response to that is this. if somebody comes to me and borrows money, is I don't give loans. And then my next response is to pray, Lord, do I need to help him? And if ever the Lord gives me, I feel like the Lord says, help, Lord, magkano? So kung 10,000 yan hinihiram niya, eh feeling ko, I can only give 1,000. I'll give him. Ito, hindi utang to. Ito, tulong ko sa'yo. Now, all you need is 9,000. God bless you. Yun ang ginagawa. Now, there were times na the whole amount I felt like I need to give. And the guy says, I'm gonna pay you back. I say, okay. But in my heart, hindi na ako maniningil. Kasi mag-aaway pa kami niyan pag hindi na. Because hindi, you understand where... So if, but syempre, may mga negosyo na nagpapautang. Iba naman ang usapan na yun. Pero hindi kasi ako yun eh.
Ito po regarding sa yung madalas nating marinig pag tithes and offering. Yung if you're a first timer, you are not obliged to give. But if you do so, God will surely bless you. Hindi, parang yung ko minsan pag iniisip ko, paano pag hindi ako nagbigay, hindi ba ako blessed?
Actually, it's something that we've talked about. Personally, syempre, when you get different people there, nag-iiba na yung statement. But personally, my statement is, when people ask me is, if you're a visitor here, you don't have to participate. But if you choose to do so, we pray that God would honor your faith. So may mga... But obviously, when you're up there kasi, you don't remember everything. When you're up there, you don't have time to explain everything. If you're first time here, you're not obliged to give. But if you give, may the Lord bless you. Tapos mag-explain ka. Walang obliged dito, ha? Sinabi ko lang yon. Tapos pag hindi kayo nagbigay, hindi naman ibig sabihin na hindi kayo blessed, ha? Hindi mo, there's no time eh. So minsan ganun lang talaga. We keep making corrections and nababago naman, tapos pag may na-train na bago, na iba na naman. But rin kasi I realize you cannot say everything at one point. At one time. So I guess the way we do ministry and the way we talk about money here, at least with us, I think it's clear that whatever kung ano yung negative thoughts mo about the statement is not true. That's not what we believe in. Our discipleship teaches us the other way. So parang na-explain naman through the way we do church. Yes, no more.
In line din dun sa tithes and offering, regarding exhortation, I'm not sure yung extent ng responsibility or involvement ng if some of the people here are from worship services, but regarding teaching about if you give you will be blessed, yung any like verses that was like almost every week, for example. People hearing about when you give, you will be blessed. So, parang I'm thinking of as a worship service. I'm sure pastor kasi yung responsible for balancing the teaching about giving. Pero inis ko lang kung paano magiging involved or paano nang gagawin ng mga worship services na wait sandali, puro yata when you give, you will be blessed. If you give your offering, be blessed ka ng Panginoon.
I think if you're involved with the worship services, maybe you can talk about it with your pastor. That's the best thing to do. Napag-usapan naman to with the pastors before. So there's a... but obviously, sometimes the statement gets changed as you go along.
Bishop Jure, I have one clarification and then... another one question. So yung clarification lang is coming from what you said a while ago, no, on the tithes, no, because sometimes iba we focus, for example, Malachi 3:10, right? And so give the tithe, and then but merong parang pullback somehow na parang pullback on the expectation of the blessing, parang ganyan. But I heard you say no, that is what the word says, and when you give, expect the floodgates of heaven to be opened and the blessings to be poured out, and so that's okay.
Yeah, I totally agree with that, because it's God who says test us.
Yeah. This.
I've heard people say na when you give, don't expect anything in return. But I realize this, I'm just thinking through this, na when you give to God, or when you give and you don't expect from God, hahanapin mo rin naman yun eh. Diba? Kasi kailangan mo eh. So ako, I realize this. I'm just so thankful that God gave me a way where I can be generous and get provided for at the same time. So I'm going to expect God from
right.
God. So yun yung...
And it's good to have that attitude that really expect from the Lord also. Yeah. Right. Thank you for the clarification.
Ano naman yun eh? Yung iba naman, concern nila, wrong motive. So ako naman, parang kaya ka naman i-correct ni Lord eh.
Yeah.
Tapos kung wrong motive yan, whether i-expect mo hindi, may wrong motive ka natin talaga.
Right.
Magbabago lang yan pag na-deal na ni Lord, di ba?
Yeah. So thank you for the clarification. Okay. Here comes the question.
Yes.
Are you selling your red Vespa?
Are you interested? Maybe not now.
Not yet ready.
Although I'm thinking about it because I want to get something else.
Great. I'm Rain from Victory, Alabang, sir.
But I can help you get one if you want.
Okay, Hazel.
Yes, Hazel.
And Pastor, you mentioned about storehouse a while ago. Can I ask what's with the storehouse principle?
Have you read the book? The storehouse principle is basically about saving for yourself. The way he does it is Pastor Dennis will probably be clearer about it. But basically, he says that just like you, when you get your income, you set aside your tithe. Then you set aside a certain amount for paying yourself for working also. Then that goes to your storehouse. Then eventually, you build your storehouse as you. Continue to keep adding. So, parang savings in that sense.
Questions?
Any other question? Lana? All right, let's pray. As we pray, let's just get our faith together with each other. And before we close in prayer, just you and God. This is a challenge, a faith step. There is something that you've been asking God for. For some of us, it's been a long time that you've been asking God for. If there is one thing you could ask God for, what would it be? Okay. And please, I hope it's not your phone bill or your taxi ride, unless that's really an emergency situation for you. But if there was something you would ask God for, what is it? And I'd like us to join our faiths together to believe with you. To see that answer. Okay? So let's just pray right now. It's between you and God. If you were to ask God for something, what is it? And just go and ask God right now and just say, Lord, I ask you for this in Jesus' name. And if you can ask God as well, Lord, is there something in your word that talks about this? So that you can stand on that word, meditate.